Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Good morning, White Sox fans. I'm Jim Margulis, and this is your White Sox wake-up call for July 20th, 2021. The White Sox and Twins split a doubleheader on Monday night, which is the expected outcome for a twin bill in which the White Sox threw Lance Lynn against a homer-prone rookie in Game 1, and Reynaldo Lopez in a spot start against Minnesota ace Jose Berríos in Game 2. As long as you weren't betting on the outcome of the individual games, you did fine. But because you can't predict baseball, the White Sox lost Game 1 3-2 in 8 innings, only to have Gavin Sheets stun Berríos with a 3-run walk-off homer for a 5-3 victory in Game 2. The Twins were an inning away from dealing the Sox a depressing doubleheader sweep for reasons within their control, and I'll get to that in a bit. Berríos took the ball with a 3-2 lead in the hopes of closing out a 7-inning complete game victory. He'd allowed a solo shot to Jose Abreu in the first, a solo shot to Yoan Moncada in the sixth, and a walk to Zach Collins in between, and that was it. But as his pitch count approached 90, his command started to loosen. He hung an 0-2 curveball to Brian Goodwin, who singled through the right side. He fell behind 2-0 to Andrew Vaughn, then grazed him on the elbow for another base runner. Up came Sheets, and Berríos fell behind 3-0, including a wild pitch that moved both runners into scoring position. With the base open, he could have walked Sheets and taken his chances with Jake Berger and a force at any base. Instead, he threw two fastballs. Sheets took an outer half fastball for strike one, and when Berríos tried inner half for a strike two, Sheets turned, burned, and launched a drive over the Minnesota bullpen for the game winner. That swing salvaged the evening, which could have been all about Tony La Russa's refusal to use his best relievers in the highest leverage situations. Neither Liam Hendricks nor Michael Kopech pitched, but Matt Foster threw two innings in relief of a decent three from Lopez. And Foster gave up Mitch Garver's second homer of the game to extend the Twins' lead to 3-1, so it's not like he beat the odds. When Game 1 moved into extra innings after Lynn's strong 7, La Russa went with Garrett Crochet, who had ended up the losing pitcher in both of his extra innings appearances, in part because he doesn't miss all that many bats. Now he's 0-3 in extras, although this one's not all his fault. Luis Arraez's leadoff single was on Crochet as he lost a lefty-lefty matchup that put runners on the corners. Crochet did get a weak grounder from Josh Donaldson that should have resulted in the runner at third being out, but Jake Berger didn't notice him soon enough and slipped in his attempt to beat him back to the bag, and the Twins loaded the bases on what's called a fielder's choice. Crochet then struck out Trevor Larnach, but with Nelson Cruz coming to the plate, La Russa decided to summon a righty. It wasn't Hendricks and it wasn't Kopech, it was Ryan Burr. And Burr did okay by limiting Cruz to a sac fly in a 2-1 Minnesota lead, but then he gave up a solid single to Jorge Polanco for the run that decided the game. The White Sox were able to get one run back in the bottom of the eighth on an Abreu double, but he was stranded at second with Moncada striking out and Adam Engel flying out to left. You could say the White Sox shouldn't have even been in extras, considering they faced Griffin Jackson's 8.66 ERA. For whatever reason, the White Sox just couldn't see him. Tim Anderson took the only convincing swing off him, which resulted in a solo homer and the game's first run. Unfortunately, Anderson also took the game's worst swing in the seventh. With runners on first and second, two outs, and a 3-0 count against his nemesis Tyler Duffy, Duffy threw him a fastball high, tight, and out of the zone. But Anderson swung for some reason and popped out to first base to send the game to extras, which La Russa didn't manage well. However it happened, a split is fine. The Sox are now 11-3 against Minnesota on the season, and there's no excuse for dodging Kopech and Hendricks for the rest of the series. The Sox and Twins return to a single 9-inning game tonight, with Dallas Keuchel making his first start of the second half against towering righty Bailey Ober. Ober picked up his first and only victory of his career the last time he faced the Sox back on July 5th, throwing 5 scoreless innings and tying a career high with 7 strikeouts. Then again, I might be worried if I were Ober, if only because Keuchel is on the mound. He's won both of his starts against the Twins because the White Sox scored 29 runs in those two games. First pitch is at 7:10 p.m. Central on NBC Sports Chicago.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Down on the farm, the 4 full-season affiliates were off on Monday, but the short-season teams logged action, with both White Sox teams playing red squads. The Arizona Complex League Sox lost 7-1, as Christian Mena gave up 5 first-inning runs, although Elijah Tatis raised his average to 0.59 with his second hit of the season. The DSL White Sox won 4-1, thanks to 4 scoreless innings from Emerson Talavera and 6 errors by the other team. As for the White Sox 4 full-season clubs, the Charlotte Knights travel to Durham, Birmingham heads to Chattanooga, Winston-Salem hosts Jersey Shore, and Kannapolis plays 7 games over 6 days in Fayetteville. And on Wednesday, all eyes will be on the Dash, because that's when and where Luis Robert is expected to start his rehab assignment. Around the league, the White Sox now lead the AL Central by a season-high 8.5 games because Houston beat Cleveland 4-3. The Royals were off, and so were the Rangers, who lost the Tigers 14-0. Offense ruled the fields on Monday. The Nationals avenged a 16-run loss to the Padres over the weekend by beating the Marlins by 17, 18-1. That game included 7 scoreless innings and a home run by John Lester. The Red Sox crushed the Blue Jays 13-4, and because the Mets refused to be normal, they outlasted the Reds 15-11 in 11 innings. In more normal results, the Angels got the tungsten arm O'Doyle act from Shohei Ohtani with 6 shutout innings and a double, yet still lost to Oakland 4-1. And the Cardinals climbed back to .500 and spoiled the Cubs' chances to do the same with an 8-3 win at Busch. That'll do it for this edition of the White Sox Wake-Up Call. Visit SoxMachine.com to discuss the doubleheader, the action on the farm, and I think I'm going to be hosting an open discussion on which players y'all would be fine trading. Also, make sure to place your pre-order for the new Sox Machine ball caps, as I'll be closing the pre-order window around noon. If you're new to the Sox Machine podcast, you can subscribe to it wherever podcasts are found. And if you'd like to support the site and the show, you can do so at patreon.com/SoxMachine, where you can sign up for an ad-free version of the site and show starting at $2 a month. Thanks for listening to the Sox Machine podcast. For SoxMachine.com, I'm Jim Margulis.